Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, look if you would, starting at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took of the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for this message that you've given. Lord, I thank you for a Bible that only you could have written. And Lord, I just pray that as Christians, we will take the Word of God seriously. Lord, that we will read it and understand, Lord, that those are your words, not words of men. And Father, because you're the Creator, Lord, you know the past, the present, and the future. And Lord, we don't. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that if somebody here this morning is not saved, Lord, that they'll understand that this is a letter from you to them, Lord, that they can be saved, that they will just do what you've told us to do, Lord, and as believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior. And Lord, I pray if there are Christians here this morning, Lord, and there are probably some, Lord, that just aren't taking their walk with Christ seriously. And Lord, they just think that they have every day to do whatever they want. They never think about the things that you want us to do, Lord, and what pleases you. Lord, help us to all understand, Lord, that there's a judgment day coming. And we'll all give an account of what we did, Lord, for you as Christians. And how we lived and whether or not we did what you told us to do. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us now, Lord, through your word, Lord. And keep my mind focused, Lord, and keep me from stammering lips. And just preach to these people, Lord, in spite of me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I preached a message called The Bible Within the Bible. And that message was about how you have the whole Bible mentioned in the book of Isaiah. And a couple people wanted me to teach or preach that again, and maybe we will, I don't know. But in that message, the verses I used proved that the entire 66 books of the Bible are all included in the chapter, the 66 chapters of Isaiah. And that is a great study. If you ever decide to do a study like that, that's a fantastic study if you have time to do that. But what you see this morning here in Mark chapter 5, The same way that you see Isaiah as the Bible within the Bible, here in Mark chapter 5, what you're basically seeing is the Bible within the passage of Scripture. The Bible within this passage of Scripture. Because what you read in Mark chapter 5 is a general summary of everything in the Bible, really from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. You see that in the story that we just read in the book of Mark. And this story that we read really has three characters, not counting the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the greatest of all the characters. But it has three characters besides him. And this morning I want us to look at those three characters so that we can learn and see the truths of the Bible from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. And so I want you to start looking this morning at verse 22, because starting in verse 22, we see the first part of the story. And that is, we see the faith of a father. In Mark chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name." Now, to be a ruler of the synagogue back in those days, one would have to be a knowledgeable practitioner of the law that God gave to Moses. To be a ruler of the synagogue back then, one would have to have a devotion and dedication to the altar and sacrifices and the priesthood and the things of God. So Jairus was a knowledgeable, dedicated leader. He was also a ruler, a recognized authority within the synagogue. But his daughter was sick and dying. And when his daughter was sick and dying, Jairus knew that his religion could not help him out. He knew the Pharisees could not help him out. Jairus knew that there was only one person who could possibly help him out, and that was Jesus. Even though the Pharisees hated Jesus and didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was, Jairus knew that the only way his daughter was ever going to be healed was by the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's a Jew who knows that his religion is not enough, who comes to the Messiah. Verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." So just think about this. Now, this is a Jew who was a ruler in the Judaism religion. He was friend of the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes. But yet here he humbles himself at the feet of the Son of God and he asks for help. He had faith, real faith. And you know, it's always been about faith. The Bible says without faith is impossible to please God. When you read your Bible from cover to cover, you'll find that the only thing that was ever accounted to anybody for righteousness was faith. No works. No works and faith, just faith. And so you go over to Hebrews chapter 11. We call that the faith chapter, the hall of faith, they call it. And it lists all these people. Do you know what you read when you read in Hebrews chapter 11? You read, by faith, Noah. By faith, Abel. By faith, Moses. By faith, by faith, by faith. Do you think that maybe faith means something to the Lord? Do you think it's impossible? I mean, do you think it's pleasing to the Lord that we have faith? Listen, every single person that ever did anything that was worth doing in that Bible, they did it by faith, and it's the power of God that was working through them that got it done. And so it's never been about keeping the law. It's never been about turning over a new leaf. It's always been about faith, and it will only be about faith when it comes to what saves a person. And this ruler, he comes to the Lord by faith. And then it says in verse 23, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now, do you know what this man knew that the Pharisees didn't know? He knew that the Messiah had the power to heal. He knew the Messiah had the authority to heal. And every time that Jesus healed anybody, it was a testimony to the nation of Israel that he was the Messiah and that he was God manifest in the flesh. And you know, but most Jews saw these same miracles, but yet they didn't believe. They heard the tales that were told, but they didn't believe them. But Jairus, when his daughter got sick, he believed. He believed. He had faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus went with Jairus because the Lord always responds to faith. Look at verse 24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." So we see the faith of the Father here. And it shows us that if you want something, if you want to get the Lord's attention, If you want the Lord to answer your prayers, you got to come to Him by faith. Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, the only way you're ever going to be saved is to come to Jesus Christ by faith. And just, listen, nobody in this room has seen Jesus Christ. Amen? But you believe upon Him by faith. You weren't there 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, but you believe that by faith. God gave a record of His Son. He says, listen, I sent My Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners, and those who believe in Him will have eternal life. That's God's record of His Son. You read it over there in 1 John chapter 5, but you've got to believe God by faith. It's always been about faith. So we see the faith of the Father. Next thing I want you to see is the touch of a woman. Notice here that right in the middle of the story, I mean, here we are where Jairus comes to the Lord and he finally, you know, his Pharisee friends hate Jesus, but he knows his daughter's sick, so he comes to the Lord and says, Lord, my daughter's sick. I know You're the only one who could possibly save my daughter. And the Lord says, You believe in Me, so let's go. I'll go heal her. And so they start walking along. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the story, the narrative is interrupted. Totally interrupted by this woman. Now get this. Starting at verse 25, Jairus is no longer in view. It doesn't even mention Jairus anymore starting at verse 25. His daughter is no longer in focus. It's like the Holy Ghost is filming this Jewish ruler with his daughter with a camera, and he's filming them, and then all of a sudden he just turns the camera over on this woman. That comes out of nowhere. It's like the Holy Spirit is saying, we're going to do something different for a little while. Now, I believe that this daughter of Jairus in this story is a picture of the nation of Israel. And I also believe that the woman in the story is a picture of all of us who are saved today, who make up what the Bible calls the bride of Christ. Now watch, look at verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I want you to notice that this woman had been sick as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. This woman, she had been sick for 12 years. So from the day this little girl was born, that woman had been inching closer and closer and closer to the grave. And do you realize since the day that God chose Abraham and began to deal with the nation of Israel, the Gentiles have been dying in trespasses and sins, and God was completely silent about it when it comes to dealing with the Gentiles. But look at verse 26. And he had suffered many things, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. May I remind you this morning that man's been trying just about everything to be healed from sin and make it to heaven, but nothing has worked. Some try Buddhism. Some try the Muslim religion. Some try Mormonism. Other people try good works. All over the world there are temples and there are shrines of false gods, and people are counting on these false religions. They've been counting on them for a long time. But the whole time, false religions have saved no one, and no person is bettered by any of them. And the lost person who count on these lost religions have only grown worse. No one has been saved by them. People are still dying and going to hell today. But look at verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. Notice that when she heard of Jesus, she came to Jesus. You know why we're teaching these kids about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when they hear of Him, wouldn't it be great if a few of them came to Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if all of them came to Jesus? Listen, this morning you're hearing about Jesus Christ. You're hearing about the man who could forgive anybody of their sins. It doesn't matter what sins you've ever committed. You're hearing about Him now. Will you come to Him this morning? Have you come to Him? Have you come to Him and asked Him to save you? Jesus said in John 8:24, He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. What He's saying is this: you could try all those other religions. You'll not be bettered by it. Hey, listen, this woman came to Jesus. She said, listen, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. I've tried all these other things. I've tried this physician. I've tried that physician. I've tried this physician. And I'm not any better. I'm getting worse. And may I tell you today, if you're here and you're not saved, you're in the same position that woman was in. You've tried this. You've tried turning over a new leaf. You've tried coming to church. You've tried being baptized. You've tried this. You've tried this religion. You've tried that religion. And guess what? You're none the better. You're getting worse. You're getting every day closer to death, closer and closer and closer, and it's coming. You need somebody to make you whole. You need the real deal. You need the real physician. You need the one who can save you from your sins. That's what this woman needed. She had tried everything else. It didn't work. But when she heard of Jesus, she came to Jesus. Jesus is the only way that anybody can be saved. And you'll not be bettered by any of these false religions. Only Jesus can save you. But you must come to Him this morning and call upon Him to save your soul. Look at verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I'm just going to tell you that you will not find that anywhere in the Bible where it says if you just touch Jesus' clothes, you'll be made whole. But you know what that's showing? Listen, she didn't know anything about Jesus other than the fact that He could heal. Amen? That's what she knew. She didn't know all the ins and outs about, you know, sanctification and propitiation and all these other things. She didn't know all that. She just came to Jesus the best way she knew how. She's like, if I could just reach out there and just touch His clothes. You're talking about faith. You're talking about faith. Have you ever thought of all those other people there thronging Him? All those people bumping up against Him? But nobody else got healed. Only she did. Why? She had faith. She heard of Jesus. She came to Jesus in faith. Nobody else trusted Him like she did. And because she put her faith in Him, she was healed. Look at verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt, watch it, in her body that she was healed of that plague. Something changed on the inside. Watch, look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Do you realize that when Jesus healed the blind men, the blind man got sight? When Jesus healed the lame man, that lame man was able to walk. When Jesus healed the man's withered hand, that man was able to use that hand once again. But when Jesus healed this woman, His virtue went out of Him and into her. And you don't find that anywhere else in Scripture. Just here. His virtue went out of Him and into her. She knew something had changed in her, and He knew something had went out of Him. Do you know what happened the moment you got saved? And you didn't even realize it. The Bible says that Christ entered into you. Colossians 1:26 and 27 says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That never happened to a single person until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But today in this age, when someone gets saved, they become the bride of Christ, and Christ indwells within the believer. And once Christ dwelled in you, you know what you received? You received the virtue of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, Pastor? Did you not receive God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God's long-suffering, God's gentleness, God's goodness, God's faith, God's meekness, God's temperance? Hey, listen, when you got saved, you didn't just join a religion. You didn't just join a religion when you got saved. You got the virtue of Jesus Christ Himself when you got saved. The moment you and I got saved, immediately it went out of Him and into us. What an amazing thing. Look at verse 30 again. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? In other words, they're saying, man, everybody's touching you, Lord. In verse 32, and He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. and be whole of thy plague." Notice that after Jesus heals her, from that point forward, they have fellowship with one another. She falls down at his feet and pours out everything that's in her heart. She confesses everything to him, and he speaks to her and says, "It's okay. Go in peace. It's okay, I've made you whole." When was the last time you as a believer fell on your knees before the Lord and confessed your sins to him and told him all the truth? When was the last time that you confessed your sins to him in order to, listen, if you're not in fellowship this morning, all you have to do is just get on your knees and just tell him the truth. You know what he'll say? "Go in peace. I've made you whole." Now watch verse 34 again. This is really cool. I tell you, I had such a good time studying this thing this past week. I'm telling you, it was just amazing. Verse 34. "He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Notice that word "hath" is past tense. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." So everything that was wrong with her up to this point, everything that this problem she had from way back for 12 years, everything up to the point to where she had faith and she reached out and grabbed his garment, from way back then to right now, he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." But keep reading. Notice he continues to say, "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know what that just showed you? I tell you, listen, he's saying, "Listen, I'm going to make you whole from back here all the way right here. I'm going to make you whole, but don't worry about it. Now as you go forward, you're going to be whole the rest of the way." May I tell you that when Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for your sins and when he forgave you of your sins, he forgave you of all your sins in the past. He made you whole from those sins. But ain't all. From the moment you got saved, he forgave you of all your sins in the future as well. Boy, isn't that good. Amen. I'm going to amen myself. Nobody else is going to amen me on that. He said, "And be whole." So the day I got saved, I came to Jesus Christ the best way I knew how. I put my faith in him and he saved me. And virtue went out of him and went into me. And so now I have a friend that I confess all my faults to. And I can now talk to him anytime that I want. And he responds to me by saying, "Go in peace." And he assures me that he took care of all of my sins from past, present, and future. He made me whole for the rest of my life. That's this woman. That's us. That's the bride of Christ. And then guess what? She disappears from the story. She's here 1 minute. I mean, she came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, she's just not there anymore. Doesn't say she walked off. It doesn't say she got in a taxi. It just says that she's no longer there. She's no longer mentioned. One moment she's there, but before the sun sets, that same day she's gone. Now, as Christians, I'm just going to tell you, we're all a mess, folks. But we've been forgiven and made whole by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here today, but one of these days, we're just going to be gone too. That Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We're here today, but one of these days we're going to be gone tomorrow. And all of a sudden, we won't be mentioned anymore. So we saw the faith of the father, this Jewish man who needed the Lord's help in the healing of his 12-year-old daughter. We saw this woman who came from nowhere, who interrupted a narrative of God working with the Jews. She was made whole and then she disappears from the scene. And then we see the third thing. We see the healing of the daughter. Look if you would at verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Do you realize today that there are false teachers that come out and are teaching that God is done with Israel? They say, you know what? Once the church came in, God is no longer done with Israel. They're an apostate nation. They're done and we've taken the place. Not according to this passage, they ain't true. These people came out and said, "Your daughter's dead. Why are you bothering the master for?" Listen, do you think that mattered to the Lord that they were dead? That this daughter was dead? No. But there are people today that teach that we're done, that God's done with Israel, and they believe that the hope that the nation of Israel has is dead, that God has put away Israel forever. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. Actually, the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is part in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion deliver, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." You know what that's saying? That's saying that one of these days we're going to be taken out as Christians. We're going to disappear. We're going to go. That trumpet's going to sound. And then you know what's going to happen? God's going to heal Israel. He's not done with Israel at all. He's not done with them. He's going to heal them. They've just been put on hold until this age of the bride of Christ comes to an end, when the believers of this age are raptured out. And then God's going to turn his attention back to Israel, just like he's turned his attention back to them in this passage here after this woman is gone. Notice what they say to Jairus here. They said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" They were saying there was nothing that Jesus could possibly do for this ruler of the synagogue and his daughter. It's over. It's done. But look at verse 36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Jesus said, So what? She's dead. You just leave that to me. Just leave that to me. Verse 37. "And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James." You know what happened there? You went from a thronging multitude to a tiny believing remnant. Where's the crowd? They're gone. Where's the multitude? Ain't there anymore. Who's left? Just a few people who believe Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do at the start. Now notice what's going on when Jesus shows up here. Verse 38. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." Tumult, weeping, and wailing. That home is in great tribulation. That home is suffering like it's never suffered before. Do you know what's going to happen to the Jew in the tribulation? Weeping, tumult, death, wailing, and suffering like they've never suffered before. Look at verse 39. "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out," boy, you need to underline that, those people that were laughing to scorn, those people didn't believe, those people didn't have faith, "but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in with the damsel where the damsel was lying." You know what the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25? It tells us that when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth at the end of that 7 years of tribulation, that he's going to sit on his throne and judge those people who had been here during the tribulation for that 7 years. And only those who believed what Jesus had promised to Israel, only those who treated the Jew right during that time of tribulation will be able to enter into that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth. But those who did not believe and those who scoffed, those people who do not believe the promises of God, do not treat the Jew right, God says, out. You're not going to enter into the kingdom. Those people who will not be allowed to enter into the kingdom, and he throws them out before he does what he promised he would do. Look at verse 41. "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years old, and they were astonished with a great astonishment." Verse 43, "And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." Do you know what your hope is as a Christian this morning? It's the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and get out of here when that trumpet sounds. That's your hope, folks. The Bible says that the Bible tells us that that's our hope. Do you know what the hope of the nation of Israel is, though? Not the same as your hope. As a nation, their hope is to enjoy the land that God gave them with their Messiah. Now turn, if you would, over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Their hope is to get that land. Well, by the way, the land that they have right now is not, I mean, that's their land, but that's just a fraction of it. Their hope is to get the whole thing and to be able to enjoy it with their Messiah. Ezekiel chapter 37. The nation of Israel has a much different future than we do. Now, I'm not telling you that a Jew can't be saved today. A Jew can be saved the same as anybody else, as individuals. But as a nation, their future is a little bit different than ours. Ezekiel chapter 37, look if you would at verse 1. It says, Ezekiel 37, 1, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley of which was full of bones." I personally would not have wanted to be there. Amen. I mean, we went to the men's retreat this past year, and where we were at is kind of a place that we don't normally go to. It's just kind of, because the other place, they double booked, so we had to go to this place. And we noticed while we were tossing horseshoes, there was this fence right here along the side of it. And we were just tossing horseshoes right along that fence. And finally, I think maybe Brother Tim Ford, maybe he just walked over and kind of looked over that fence. You know what it was? Graveyard. I was like, I don't want to play horseshoes anymore. Amen. I told him, I was like, I'll play in the daylight, but I ain't playing for no nightlight out here. He's like, oh, Pastor, you're just being silly. Maybe so. You go out, hang out in the graveyard. I'll stay at home. Amen. All right. But here, he's in a valley full of bones. Verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live." Isn't that something? These bones are about to do only the second thing that they've done since they died. You say, what was the first thing? They voted in the last election. I'm just kidding. Anyway. Verse 6. Had to throw that in there. Verse 6. "And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and behold a shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone." How many of you ever heard that song, you know, this bone connected to that bone? And yeah, you know where that came from? Right here. Verse 8. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet as an exceeding army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. They say, There's no hope at all. God's done with Israel. They say, They say we are cut off from our parts. God has something different to say. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." This is where he says, they say this, but this is what I say. "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Do you know what you have in the story of Mark chapter 5? You have the Bible within a passage. If you look at your Bible, God gave the promise to Abraham all the way back there in Genesis chapter 12. All right, so from Genesis chapter 12 all the way till you get over to Matthew chapter 27 when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know what you have? You have that much right there of Jairus saying, My daughter's sick. My daughter's dying. And then Jesus Christ, he dies on the cross. And when he dies on the cross, you know who enters the scene? The woman. You have that much right there. I'll sit up here. You have that much right there. That's Jairus in the story. And then you have the woman here. Matthew 27 all the way to Revelation chapter 4. When all of a sudden John is taken up in the spirit. He sees the Lord and he hears the words come up hither. And then this woman just kind of gets off the scene. She's no longer mentioned. You know what you have? The rest of the story. The daughter being made whole. They're getting their land. And God's going to be the ruler forever and ever and ever. You have the whole, you have the Bible within a passage. Now, when it comes to the first part of that and the last part of that, you have no place in that. But you do have the place in the part of the woman. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, listen, you're living in an age to where the Lord is offering anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. And if you notice, that's the smallest part out of the whole thing. You know what it's telling you? You don't have forever to make up your mind. You have this life to make up your mind to trust Jesus Christ. This woman, she come to him and she knew she was sick. She knew she was dying. And she says, I have to get to Jesus. Because only he can heal me. I've tried everything else. Nothing else is working. But Jesus Christ can heal me. May I tell you this morning that if you'll come to Jesus Christ by faith and you humble yourself before him, he will heal you of your sin. He will forgive you of your sin and you'll be saved and you'll be made whole not only of the sins in the past, but every sin you ever committed in the future or ever will commit in the future. You'll be made whole. If you've not called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him now. Call upon him this morning. Have faith and he'll make you whole. And listen, let's say that you've already called upon him. You already believed upon him. You've already been made whole. Then you know what? If you're not living right this morning and there's sin in your life and you got something going on, do you know it's displeasing God? Won't you humble yourself this morning, get on your knees and tell him all the truth and just confess those sins to him. And if you do that, you know what he'll say? Go in peace. I've made you whole. The whole Bible within a passage. What are you going to do with a passage that has to do with you this morning? Let's stand.